I think it's time, folks. We go find us a seat. We'll start the song service out this morning with the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Let's stand as we sing. Mine eyes have seen the glory. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is counting out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has switched the faithful lightning up his terrible monstrous sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchtowers of a hundred circling camps. They have built in him an altar in the evening news and dance. I can read his righteous sentence, his daring, violent glance. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him, the jubilee at my feet. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Danny?
All right, good morning, everybody. What a wonderful day it is. What a wonderful day to celebrate. Yes, please be seated. The resurrection of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the power of the resurrection. Father, we thank you for the glory of our Lord and Savior. Father, let us remember him today. We need to remember him every day. But here we are today to celebrate the resurrection that took place, Father God. And all that it meant, Father, we have an eternal promise. Amen. As believers now. We have nothing to fear. In death, there is no sting. Father, we just thank you now as we worship you. We lift up your holy name, Father. Father, we thank you that as we hear the word spoken today, that the word will not return void, but it'll accomplish everything it needs. And Lord, to minister to every soul that's here today, to lift them up, Father God, to bring peace if there's discomfort, to bring healing if there's any health problems, Father God. Father, we just thank you that you will minister unto us and we will be able to praise you, Father, with a sweet praise that'll be sweet in the sound of your ears, Father. We just thank you now in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Let's reach out to Jesus.
Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the road to travel farther danger yet unknown? Are you weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you when on your name we call. He is everything, He is everywhere, grateful and true. Walking by my side, in His love we hide all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus, He's reaching out to you. Is your life you're living filled with sorrow and despair? Does the future press you with its worry and its care? Are you tired and friendless? Have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you. Just come to Him today. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true. Walking by my side, in His love I hide all the day through. When I get discouraged, just remember what to do. I reach out to Jesus, He'll reaching out to you.
All right, Christ arose. I think Paul's got that one over there. In his favorite key. Low in the grave.
Low in the grave He lay. Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lived forever with His saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Many they watch His bed, Jesus my Savior.
You know, they put Him in that tomb. They beat Him, scourged Him, cursed Him, spit on Him. But you know what? Death couldn't keep Him in there. He came forth. He died for me. If no one else, He died for me. If he didn't die for you, He still died for me. He came just for you. As an individual, not as a group.
Amen.
He came just for me, as Alan Krause He came for you too? Thank you, Jesus. All right. Death cannot keep him. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore those bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph on his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Will you thank Jesus for everything that we have? I thank him for the good times. I thank him for the bad. Only Jesus can take care of it. And there's something about that name. We've got two of them up here on the wall. Jesus, there's just something about your name. Did I mess you up, Paul? You got it? I mixed them up again. I thought I fixed them. All right. Jesus, 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 there's just something about your name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. End and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about your name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about your name. You're my master, my savior, my Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about my tribute next. Let's go ahead and do the offering when we get a chance, Phil. Right now.
My tribute. All right, the first thing we want to do when we do the offering is to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. I have begun to find the power of us presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. I understand that the microphone might just be there.
And I'm hoping that you all can hear me now. Can you hear me? Yes, you can. We're going to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Why? It gives him the opportunity. Do you realize that we must give Jesus, Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, an opportunity? If we don't, he's not one that's going to bulldoze anybody down. You say, well, I feel like I've been bulldozed down. That's why you need and I need to give him the opportunity to do the amazing things that he wants to do. Amen? All right. So, Father, we want to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And then we want to offer up tithes and offerings so that you can... can open the windows of heaven. When we present our bodies, you say, you're going to show us, you're going to prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. And Father, we want that good and acceptable will. Help us be conformed to it, transformed to it. And we want to know that you're opening the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing. And it's not because of what we've done, it's because of who we believe in. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, you may be seated.
One song, but if you want to go ahead, we will go ahead. Okay. My tribute. How can I say thanks? How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Of a million angels cannot express my gratitude. All that I am will ever hope to be. I owe it all to you.
The song I'm going to sing is a song that I wrote. It goes to the tune of Love Me Tender. And the chorus for this, I got to thinking about it. And usually when you write a song or you sing a song, it's always in first person or third person. It does never go back and forth. Well, this song in the chorus where it says, He washed all my sins away, is a third person. So it's kind of like you're living in this world, and who are you talking to, right? Because you know that Satan's going to talk to you, and he's going to try to get you off track, and then you can respond with this chorus. So just be listening to it whenever I sing it. Jesus overcame the grave. Now he beckons me. I will follow where he leads. Lord, abide in me. He washed all my sins away. I have been set free. I surrender all to thee, for you first loved me. Jesus overcame my sin, speaks within my heart. For it's there that he belongs and will never part. He washed all my sins away. I have been set free. I surrender all to thee. For you first loved me. Jesus overcame the world and is ever mine. He'll be there through all the years, through the end of time. I said through eternity, he washed all my sins away. I have been set free. I surrender all to thee, for you first loved me. Jesus overcame. We go to the first verse. The grave, now he beckons thee. Thank you.
He is risen. I'll guarantee you that first resurrection day, they did not, let me get everything together here. Like I said, I've been told that my microphone is getting where it's got real scratchy and people need to get it really. Let's get it turned on. Is it come on here in 2 seconds? There we go. Good morning, everyone. He's risen. But on that first resurrection morning, they weren't running up and down the streets. They were hiding away and they were afraid. And in the days that we're living in, those forces of darkness that are calling evil good and good evil are wanting us to also hide away afraid. And Jesus went to the cross so that we would have no fear. You'll say, well, what was he doing on the cross? I thought he was just there suffering and dying. No, he was holding court. I mean, he was holding court for all of us. He was there in our place before the throne of God with an accuser who's bringing every one of our weaknesses and all of our sins and was bringing them to the throne of God, and Jesus was representing. You want a lawyer who can represent you, who understands who you are. And Jesus understands who we are. He understands how weak we are. He understands how much afraid we are. He understands how lonely we are. And he wants to be able to deal with all of those things for us. And he began to deal with all of those things for us whenever he was on the cross. And we want to consider the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. Seven sayings. What did he accomplish saying those things on the cross? Was he doing it because he had to fill up 6 hours? You know how often we do something to fill up 6 hours? Oh yeah, you do. You may not realize that you're doing it, but we do a lot of things to fill up time. And he was not filling up time. Every word he said from the cross, a nail in one hand, a nail in the other hand, nails in his feet, a crown of thorns packed down on his head so that the blood ran out of his hair and down across him while he was there on the cross. That's after he had been beaten very severely. I'm not going to go into all of that. I don't want you to think about all that he suffered through, because he who knew no sin became sin. He took all of sin on himself. He was holding court on the cross. He was taking our sins away from us. And he was winning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. Was he made known? Or did he come into this world to destroy the works of the evil one? Destroy the works of the devil. Now I want you to know something. We are either under the influence of the evil one, or we're under the influence of the throne of God. And Jesus was weaving for us, the bridge from the throne of God to each one of us. He was weaving the bridge that day. He was completing all that needed to be completed so that you and I could have great confidence in the life that we live. Now, occasionally, I'll grant you this. Some of us find a few things that are changing, that we think are changing in our favor, and we think, well, finally, I have great confidence in life. But if we look very carefully at the impossibilities we deal with, we will understand, I don't know if I have great confidence in anything. And we need to have great confidence in what Jesus did on the cross. I'm not going to take you through a blow by blow. I'm going to tell you about what he said while he was on the cross. There should be a paper that was passed out to everybody. And I don't know if I have anybody in here to pass those out. And I have a few somewhere that you might be able to get. Does anybody need one of those papers that have the seven sayings from the cross on it? On one side, it's the seven sayings from the cross. If you come this evening, on the other side will be the seven sayings after Jesus rose again. He got these seven sayings that we're looking in today in within 6 hours. I promise you, we're not going to be here for 6 hours. Amen? So if you've got one of those, does anybody else need one of those papers? Anybody else? Because Cynthia has a few, I believe, and she'd be glad to come over and wad them up and throw them at you. Anybody want to have one thrown at you? Well, maybe she won't wad it up if she comes your way. All right, thank you. Now then, a few other things that I want to touch on. This is Easter Sunday. I know a lot of y'all are going home and you're going to fix a big meal. You're going to go to all that sweat and everything like that, have some people come in and spend some time with you. When we get finished with this service, we're going to have a meal in the cafeteria. And in that meal, we're going to have ham and black-eyed peas and sweet potatoes. And we're going to have some sort of amazing cake. I think it's called resurrection cake. I don't know how you can make resurrection cake, but somebody says it sounds good, and I think it's going to sound good. I'm going to be in there. If you're wanting to do that, some of y'all are going to go out and eat. I've been going out and eating recently, and I found out that the prices for going out to eat are impossible. At least they're impossible to me. They said, well, you can't afford it. Yes, I can afford it. It's impossible for me to pull it, put my hand in my pocket and pull it out and say, I'm truly thankful for this meal I'm about to receive. Amen? Well, the one that we're going to have in here is going to have all of that. You'll have good people to be able to sit with that you hardly ever get a chance to see other than right here. You can tell one another jokes and enjoy things like that. You can talk about how God has been good to you. Because if we're going to practice up on going out into the world and speaking Jesus over every dark anxiety and fear, we ought to practice doing it with one another. How many of y'all ever heard that song, I Speak Jesus? Was something we don't do enough of. We need to speak Jesus. So anyway, that meal is only going to cost $5. $5 for all of the stuff that's in it. It's a marvelous thing. So come back and have a meal with us today. Are there any guests or visitors in the congregation today? I'm not calling anybody out. If you want to be recognized as a guest or visitor and everything like that, let me know. Matt, it's always good to have you with us. How much longer are you going to be in Shawnee? Well, today's your last day. Make sure you see me before you leave out of here to go away permanently. Or not permanently, until you come back the next time. Thank you, Matt. Everybody clap your hands for Matt. It's always good to have him back. All right. Let's see. Back here on the back row, we have someone. Who do we have back there? Courtney, it's so good to see you. I'm glad that you're here today. Everybody clap your hands for Courtney. Yeah, that's an amazing woman back there. Are there any other guests or visitors in our congregation? Over here, right here. Who do you have? Is that not amazing? Look at those kids over there. Aren't they beautiful? You want to thank God for those beautiful kids that are over there today. Today, whenever I was walking around during Sunday school time, and I did not have nearly as much energy as I've got right now. It's amazing how I do have energy and then I don't have energy. And I walked back to the Sunday school class and I said, because a few weeks ago, we had a couple of young people that were baptized here. One of them's here this morning. That's Scout right there. He was baptized a couple of weeks ago. Clap your hands. He's back again. He's been here every Sunday since we have he's been baptized. And he's got a hungry look on his face. So that's a marvelous thing to see. I was back there and I said, is anybody wanting to be baptized? And one of the girls in there said, I do, but I don't want to be baptized today. And I said, great, when do you want to do it? She said, next week. Is that not an amazing thing? Gloria and Susan teach that Sunday school class. She's not in here right now, I don't think. Let's clap our hands that this next Sunday, when Garrett Leverage is going to be here, we're going to have a baptism. It almost takes my breath away. We've had a lot of Sundays when we didn't even have a peep of a baptism, and God has been pulling the curtains back and giving us some things to be able to look at. And now I want you to know something. You can go all the way through life without getting baptized and get into heaven. Baptism doesn't get you into heaven, but it's your opportunity to say, do you know what I believe? I believe that Jesus lived for me, that he died for me, that he rose again for me so that I can have the abundant life. And so whenever you're getting baptized, you want to tell everybody, this is what I believe. And you get an opportunity to invite everybody in to come in and see you getting baptized. So I want to thank God for that possibility this next Sunday morning, because you never know exactly how everything's going to run. Are there any birthdays or anniversaries this morning before I get into the seven things? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You're not proclaiming that you still have birthdays, are you?
No.
Okay, that's good. Are you having a birthday?
No, sir.
It's an anniversary. Which number is this?
60.
Think about that. He and his wife, Frankie, have been married for 60 years. That's 60 years each. Y'all know that, 60 years each? I mean, all together, they've been married for 120 years. Clap your hands louder now. Yeah. Let's sing happy anniversary to him. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. Amen. Many of y'all wonder why you don't see Frankie here. Frankie has some very extreme difficulties, and it makes it difficult for her. And so we want to remember her in prayer, because she loves Liberty Baptist Church. Really loves it. Though you don't see her often here. Whenever you get a chance to be around Alan, you say, you got a picture you want to show me? I'm sure he's got one that he can brag on, because he loves bragging on his wife, Frankie. All right, let's see. I saw a few guests, I think, that are here, and I need to give you all about three shakes of a sheep's tail to be able to stand up and reach out to one another, and the three shakes of sheep's tail will not be very long, so if y'all have a hard time getting up, get up anyway and reach out to all the people that are around you. Let's all stand up and reach out and say, God bless you and heal you today. Now, are you only
I hate to tell you, but that's three shakes of a sheep's tail. Sheep, start returning to your place. Everybody needs to go back. All right, while y'all are getting there, sometimes this helps for you all to get there. I'm going to sing a song to you, or at least a portion of one. I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes, I often slip. Just common flesh and bones. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. For when he was on that cross that day, I was on his mind. There you go. The look of love was on his face. The thorns were on his head. His blood was on that scarlet robe, stained a crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. For when he was on the cross that day, everybody say it with me, I was on his mind. Here's the chorus. He knew me. Yes, he does. Yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heaven shine so unworthy of such mercy. For when he was on the cross that day, I was on his mind. For when he was on the cross that day, I was on his mind. That's why we're looking at the seven things that Jesus said from the cross. We haven't had this up here for a long time. I finally managed to get it drug in here this morning. I want to thank Danny Stone for coming and helping me. And we had a little bit of trouble getting it through that door over there and into here because it just wanted to be too tall to get through the door. The cross always brings difficulty. Jesus said, follow me, come follow me, but you have to take up your cross and follow me. You can say, well, the difficulties. What am I going to do with the difficulties? Phil, I've already got too many difficulties. The cross is difficult, but it brings blessings. That's why Jesus wasn't there. He didn't just get up on the cross so he could say, I will prove to you, hallelujah, I can endure. No, he was representing you and me. He was at the throne, the courtroom of the judge for you and me. We want to thank God he was doing that because on that day, we were on his mind. He wasn't looking down from the cross and saying, well, I'll tell you what, those three right there, nothing. Oh, look at the one in the very back. Isn't she just as cute as she can be? Everything. No, he was doing everything for everybody because he loves us too much. First, before we get into the seven sayings, we want to look in Revelation chapter 12, and we want to look at verse 10, the last half verse 10, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And we want to see that there is an accuser. If you are an accuser, God help you. Because this accuser does not have a good end. Yes, we need to realize that there are some things that are wrong, but we never have the right just to accuse. Because if there was anyone that was on the cross that could have done that, it was Jesus when he was on the cross. He could have accused everybody. He could have pointed out and said, lucky enough, good enough, I don't know, I still haven't made up my mind about you. Phil, forget it. But he was not accusing. In fact, he was preaching the whole time he was on the cross. I'll bring that out to you as we look at the seven things that he said from the cross. Not going to spend a whole lot of time. Remember, we're looking at the seven things he said from the cross. It took him 6 hours to say these seven things. We're going to look at the seven things that he said after the resurrection tonight in the 6:30 service. If you have a chance to come back, please come. The Word will accomplish something amazing in your life. God has promised
The word that he sends out here, as long as it's his word, if it's Phil Thompson's word, it's not going to do a bit of good for you. But the word that he sends will not return to him void, but it will accomplish amazing things. Just like when Jesus was on the cross, he accomplished something amazing for all of us. So we want to be aware of that. Starting in verse 10, the halfway through, "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them and us." There is someone accuses us all the time. All the time. He knows all about me. He can't wait to be able to go to the throne of God and say, "Oh, so that's your servant, the one that you call precious, the one that you call beloved. Yeah, Phil Thompson, that's your servant." Do you know what he does? What Jesus was doing on the cross was weaving a bridge from the throne to each one of us. If we by faith are willing to believe what he said on the cross, it will begin to change everything about us. And it says in verse 11 that they overcame the accuser by the blood of the Lamb. That's where he shed his blood. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word, and by the fact that they love not their lives unto death. It is appointed unto us all once to die. I know y'all don't like to think about that, and you think it's something I use in church to be able to scare you up to get you to come down. Down here, if you want to come down the aisle, that's fine. Nobody's going to use the scare tactic. It's been appointed to all of us. Unless y'all know somebody that they're never going to die. I want to meet them just so I can watch. But it's appointed to all of us. We're going to die. There's going to come a die. We're going to die. And it says here that they love not their lives unto death. And we, at the very beginning of this service, when we had the offertory, we presented our bodies a living sacrifice. You say, "Well, I don't want to die." Neither do I. But if I die the death here, I will live eternally. I've got that confidence because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now then, let's look at the seven things that there are that we're wanting to look at today. And we want to see that in this thing, that there are seven things that Jesus representing us. He was not doing this for himself. He was not trying to prove to anybody that he was the Son of God. Not on that day. He was before the throne of God, though he was nailed to the cross, representing you and me. Charles Spurgeon once said, "No matter where you start a message, you always want to end up at the cross." So we're starting at the cross today, and we're going to end up at the cross. Because when we come to the last thing that he said, Jesus is going to do the most amazing thing. And he did it. He didn't just say, "I've done all I can do and I can't stand anymore." No, he did what he did because he was at the throne of God and he was representing you and I. "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty. At Calvary." First word from the cross is going to be found in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. We're only going to be looking at Luke, Matthew, and John. We're going to find all seven of the words. Jesus is on the cross. All night long, they beat on him. They carried him from one place to another, and they pointed accusing fingers at him. And they took him to Pilate in the morning, and when Pilate came out and said, "What do you want me to do to this man?" they said, "Crucify him. We want him dead." We can't do that because only the Romans have the right to kill a person. "Crucify him." And eventually, they kept on hollering that. Jesus is saying nothing. That Jesus allowed him to be taken to Calvary, and they nailed him to the cross. They put a crown of thorns on his head. You can see that up there. I think those are thorns. Yep, those are thorns. Anybody want to wear them? I don't want to. Why did he wear it? He wore it for me. That's the crown that I should get. He wore that for me. And so it says in Luke 23:34, "Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They're trying to spit on him. He's up kind of high. I don't know how far you can hawk one up and spit it up. But they were trying to spit on him from down below the cross. They hated him. They wanted him to die. He was willing. Why? Because he was completing the bridge. He was weaving it together from heaven to every one of us. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Do you know how much of our lives we live not knowing what we're doing? Oh, we think it's the best thing. That's what we've listened to on YouTube, or what we've heard somebody else tell us, that this is what you need to do. But then when we get a little bit further along, we say to ourselves, what am I doing? And God knows how little that we know, and He loves us anyway. Because this is the first word, forgiveness. Every one of us needs forgiveness. I'll guarantee you, unless you've ever been forgiven, you cannot forgive. And every person you know, especially those that you hold near and dear to your heart, need forgiveness. And so he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what we do. So he was up there weaving. When we don't know what we're doing and how we're going to undo it, he was weaving for us. So in spite of that, we could have forgiveness. The second word, and these should all be on your pieces of paper that have been handed out. You can go back and look at them later, was a word of promise. It was forgiveness and there was a promise. Do any of you know, some of you do because you've been here enough, do any of you know approximately how many promises God made, not man? There are a lot of promises that men make in the Bible. We don't look at those and say, how good are they? Because we know that everybody makes a promise and most everybody fails to keep them. But God never fails to keep His promises. And this is the promise that Jesus brought into play from the cross that day. And we want to look at Luke 23. Let's get back up about, four verses or so, because we want to know that on one side of Jesus there was a thief, and on the other side of Jesus, there was another thief. And the Romans had decided that they not only were thieves, because you just didn't kill thieves because you didn't like them. The Romans had decided that they were worthy of death. And one of the malefactors that were hanged, railed on him, saying, if you be the Messiah, save yourself and us. So there's two. One of them is yelling at him. The people below are yelling. He's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. On either side are two thieves. They're both worthy of death, because we know that it says that they're worthy of death. And they're hanging there. And one of them is yelling at him too. Probably the other was yelling at him also, because that spirit of being unhappy with God was present that day. And the other, so there's one on one side saying, if you are who you say you are, save us now. And the other on the other side answered back and saying, do you not fear God, seeing that we are in the same condemnation? We both know what we've done that we're going to die for. Well, I want you to know something. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Told you earlier, we're all going to die. But once this body's no longer able, I'm not going to remain dead. I'm going to go on to eternal life. Are you going on to eternal life? And this man goes on, he says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. How did the one that was saying to him, what are you talking about? Both of us are going to die, but he's never done anything wrong. How did he know? Well, he must have known something about Jesus. Though probably at the beginning he's saying, save us too. Who are you? But then he came to the realization. Jesus was dying an innocent man. Why? He was representing. He was the innocent man that took our place. Because there had to be an innocent man that could take your place and my place. I could never do that for anybody else. Oh, you say, well, Brother Phil, maybe you could go into court and say that I'm the innocent man, I'll take their place. No, I will never be innocent enough. And so he said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. What a promise! Did you know that how many promises has God made? Do you all know? I hear somebody was pretty good saying 8,000, but it's more. 9,000 promises. One of those is a promise that you need.
You say, well, how do I find it? Spend some time before the throne of God and let Him show you the promises He wants to keep for you. Because He does want to keep promises for you. So we want to see here that there was the word let's see what I have there. There was the word of forgiveness, and there is the word of promise. Now then we want to see the word of care and comfort. And the word of care and comfort is going to come from John, the 19th chapter. And we're going to see him in verse 26 speak to his mother. And it says in there, in John 19, verse 26, it says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother, notice he's seeing his mother, but he's not going to call her mother. He's making plans for her. And there are going to be plans that are going to be good. For God says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you. And they are thoughts and plans of good and not of evil. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, and we know from the reading of the scriptures who the disciple he loved was, where there were 12 of them, was Jesus unfair? Well, it would seem like it. There was one that was known as the disciple he's loved. Well, the reason is, this disciple wanted to get as close to Jesus as he could all the time. Now, he was called to be a disciple. All the rest of them were called to be a disciple. But he wanted to be close to Jesus. So because he was always there, who was Jesus able to love more than the others? You're making it too simple, Brother Phil. No, I'm not. If you want to be a person that God loves, get yourself to the throne of God so that he can love you more. He's going to love you. He can't help but love you. For God so loved the world, that's everybody, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when he saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said to his mother, woman. Wow, that's really great. Any of y'all ever called your mother woman? Woman? Now, I didn't do it like this. Woman! He was tender towards her. He was comforting her because she was weeping. Weeping, watching her firstborn there with all the lashes on his body, there with the blood streaming down from his head, there with his hands immovable because he had been nailed to the cross, there in all of his agony because although he was representing, he was carrying our iniquities and our burdens. And he was doing that for us. And he said, woman, behold your son. And he looked over at John, who was standing next to her. How many of the other disciples were there at the cross that day? Well, they were somewhere in the background. But he was the only one who was still getting as close to Jesus as he could. And he said, behold your son. He said, I'm asking John to be willing to do a special thing. You say, well, didn't she have other children? Yeah. She had at least three or four other sons and several daughters. Why wasn't Jesus asking one of them to take care of their mother? Because at that time, none of them believed in him. I'm pretty sure that what they said about their mother, that would be other people, that she was a woman of a bad character because she was pregnant when she got married, her own children believed that about their mother. You know, the sad thing is, children believe about their parents. Well, I'm going to guarantee you, parents, you need to believe in God. And you need to ask God to raise up your children to be believers so that they can get forgiveness and they can get a promise and they can have comfort and care. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Now then, we don't know whether he kept her in his own home for the rest of his life or until the other children came around. Because we know that the other brothers, the half-brothers, all became believers. You seeing? But she had no one at that time to comfort her. He's speaking to his own mother. He's comforting her, letting her know, all the plans that God has for me are tied up in all the plans that he has for you. He's representing. Do you see this? He's representing us, all of us, because all the plans that God has
for Mary, all the plans that God has for all the disciples. He still has all those plans for us. So we see that this is a word of comfort and care. I don't know how many of you need to be comforted today. I'm not really good. Sometimes I can tell by looking at somebody's face how whether or not they need to be comforted. Sometimes I have no clue. I'm a man. Women, you have to know that about we men. Most of the time, we men have no clue what's really going on, and you look at us and say, what is the matter with him? But Jesus saw it on everybody, and he understood. He could not have represented us if he could not have comforted and cared for us. The next word we're going to find is going to be in Matthew 27th chapter, verse 46. And this, he's going to speak to loneliness. He's preaching now. He's quoting Psalms 22, one of the first few verses that are in Psalms 22. Psalms 22 is all about the suffering Messiah, the suffering shepherd. And about the ninth hour, this would be getting close to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. This is almost at the end of his time on the cross. There has been a time while he's on the cross when there was darkness in the land for 3 hours. Now then, a week from tomorrow, there's going to be darkness in America in different places at different times for about 40 minutes. So this was not one of those things that happens whenever the moon goes in front of the sun. This was where there was darkness for a much longer time. And so we see about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice and he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is loneliness. Every one of us feels loneliness. And we want somebody to notice. And Jesus from the cross that day was noticing. Everybody down there felt separated. Everybody down there felt like that nobody really cared. Everybody down there had a fist to shake at God. And so whenever he cried those words, he was crying, representing us. He said, I'm here. I'm sharing in their loneliness. God has turned his face away from me so that I can know how they feel and I can take their place in this time of judgment before the throne of God. He was willing to do that. You remember what he said the night before, whenever he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, if there be any way that this can pass from me, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And whenever he knew he was going to do God's will, he knew he was going to represent us in the court of heaven, and he was going to win the ultimate battle for us. So we see that this is the word of loneliness. The fifth is the word of suffering. Some of y'all are taking notes. I'll give you a chance to be able to write that down. Jesus was suffering. We never suffer alone. None of us. In this world, you shall have tribulation. Jesus said that. He didn't tell us how much we would have. Some of us would like to have a whole lot less. But what the scriptures tell us, that the steps of a good woman, the steps of a good man, are ordered by the Lord. When the three Hebrew children, having lost all of their family, were carried off into that far-off land of Persia and were living there, and their bodies had been made where they would never be able to have children of their own. They would never have anybody that belonged to them. They still believed that their footprints had been ordered by the Lord. When they were not willing to stand up and to bow down and worship to the idol, the king said to them, oh, boys, how come you're not bowing down? Because you know I've got a fiery furnace, and if you do not, you will go into the fiery furnace. They said, my steps have been ordered by God. And some of us have some real difficult things that we go through, and everybody knows. Some of us have some really difficult things that we go through, and hardly anybody knows. But we've all got suffering. And so when we're thinking about the suffering we're going in, Jesus said, I'm going to join them in that suffering so they will never, never be alone. You're not alone. No matter how far you try to run from him, he will never let you be alone until that last breath is taken. And if you have decided you never wanted to have anything to do with him, then he will let you go to the place where you will think you're all alone. But he is even in hell. But you won't know it. Today you can know him, but in hell you will not know anything. You will be all by yourself, and you will be suffering. And Jesus knowing that all things were
fulfilled, he had accomplished that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. You can say, how was he suffering in that? Well, I'll guarantee you whenever he was there in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and had nothing to drink or eat, he knew about suffering. And whenever he was with people who were suffering, you cannot help somebody. You really cannot help somebody unless you share in their suffering. You can pat them on the back. They're there. Everything's going to be all right. And they're going to say, who in the world are you? But when Jesus pats you on the back, you're going to know that he is with you always. So we have the fifth word is a word of suffering. The sixth word is whenever Jesus now, having done all things as he's been representing us, realizes he's done everything to weave the connection between all of us and God in heaven, and that the bridge is established, now he comes forth with a word of triumph. It's in John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, because he was thirsty, what did they give to him? Vinegar. How many of y'all like to have a drink of vinegar when you're kind of thirsty? Nobody. He received the vinegar and he said, ooh, that got louder. He received the vinegar and said, it is finished. It's finished. What does this word mean? Because he's still there. He's saying, the victory has been won. Let me give you a little story, because I've only got a little bit of time here. In this story, we find out that in the ancient Greek states, they never fought city against city on the walls and invading a city. They fought on a plain. Then whichever army won, the other army would go and would plunder the city, take all the wealth that they could carry away, and select slaves out of that city to carry back with them. So whenever there were two cities that were fighting one another, they didn't all go out to the big arena and watch, because you might get in the way. So they all stayed inside of their city, and they all came up on the walls of the city and waited for someone to come and tell them what had happened. And that would be where we got the marathon from, because there would be somebody who could run all the way and still have a loud enough voice at the end to be able to let the people up on the wall hear whether they had won or lost. And the words that they would cry is the same word. It's just one word in Greek. It's three words in the English. Was the same word that he spoke then. He knew he had represented us, and he wanted us to know he had won the victory. And he said, tetelestai, it is finished. And so he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now the last one we're going to find is the word of trust. And this is where we get into how he represented us, so that we can trust in what, when he wove the bridge from God to us, we can trust in the fact that God has such plans. And we've not even begun to see them yet, because we really haven't had much faith. I have faith in what Jesus did on the cross for me. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up his ghost. He gave up the ghost. Now then, the idea here is that he bowed his head in prayer. It's all finished. And he breathed out his spirit. Now, I know some of you all have children that get angry, or grandchildren that get angry. And they say, I'm not going to let you get away with doing it this way. I'm going to have it my way. I'm just going to hold my breath. I'll guarantee you they cannot hold their breath until they die. Amen? Have y'all ever had a child that can hold its breath, and you said, oh, they're going to die? No. Now then, they can do things to themselves that can cause that to happen, but not with holding their breath. He did not hold his breath. He willingly died in my place, in your place, in everybody who has ever lived. He died in that soul's place. We want to thank God that he was able to die just by giving himself up, and we are able to receive life just by trusting in him. Have you trusted in Jesus? Did you know what he was doing on the cross that day? For him, it wasn't so he could say, told you I could do it. I've never said that very much because there's not a whole lot I can do. Anybody say amen? Amen. Thank you. Because you know. But he didn't do it, so he said, I told you I could do it. He did it willingly. Because he was at the throne of God. He was in court for you and me. And he has never lost a battle in the court. Ever. The accuser never wins when he goes into the throne of God and he accuses me, and he does that a lot, or he accuses you. He never wins. But you need a relationship with him. I can't make that relationship happen. Only you can have that relationship with him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can have a relationship just by using faith. I don't know how to do that. It's easy. There's a little bitty thing called faith. You don't have to use very much. You just say, Jesus, I believed you won on the cross. And then you let him be the one who takes care of your loneliness, the one who gives you hope and the trust and the triumph and the forgiveness that you need and in the comfort and the care that you need. Because when he won, we never lack in any of those things, even if we be walking into the fiery furnace, or like Daniel, walking into the lion's den. Because we win because he won. And he won when he represented us on the cross. Alan, he won whenever he represented us on the cross. He was representing us before the throne of God. Now he said the night before, Lord, if there be any other way, Father, if there be any other way, let this pass from me. If there be any other way, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done. He knew he could do it. There wasn't any doubt. But being all man and all God at the same time, the man part of him said, okay, so this is what I'm going to have to do. And he did it. For you, for me, for everyone. Would you allow him to do what he wants to do in your life? Good choice. Let's all stand. Are you feeling guilty this morning? Did I do a good job of making you feel guilty? I hope not. If I made you feel guilty, come and tell me. You owe me $5. But you're going to have to prove to me how I made you feel guilty. Let's all stand. Y'all come down and have elders to pray on either side down here, and we'll sing a song.
Yeah. Father, thank you for this opportunity today.
and thank you that you've given me enough strength today to do this. It's marvelous, Lord. I thank you for watching over all of us and giving us strength, just like you gave strength to Jesus, just like you gave strength to the man who was on one side of it, and he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It took strength to be able to do that. Just like you gave strength to Mary whenever she realized that God still had plans for her. Just like you gave strength to some of those people when Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they did. Father, watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says,